Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian. From a very early age, as we develop as humans, we try to establish greater and greater independence. And this is exemplified by our early attempts at walking. So as we develop, we're born, we really can't do much on our own. We're essentially tied to our mothers, our fathers, our caregivers. They have to go out and get the food for us. They transform it, and either we're breastfed or we're given other food. But we are unable to actually move around and get these things ourselves. We are essentially tethered and bound to other people. Well, this dependence is a very important thing to keep in touch with. But at the same time, we all each individually strive to be our own person. And so as we're able to move around, we crawl, we slide around, we sit up, we're able to sit up. Then eventually we're able to stand, and that being able to stand and then walk, for those of us capable of it, that's most human beings, that is a feeling of incredible independence that we have. And that is the first point where we start individualizing ourselves and desiring this kind of independence and ability to get out and do things on our own. So this freedom, this feeling of being able to move. I mean, it goes further if we grow up in a cultural situation where we have bicycles, for example, or scooters or skateboards. Those are wheels that give us independence. We learn to do that, and it gives us greater mobility, better ability to go out and pursue our creative interests. Go visit friends more easily. Go purchase things more quickly. Carry more things. There are many places I've been around the world where bicycles still continue to be a major form of transportation carrying goods. When I was in India, for example, there are many, many bicycles that are industrial size, industrial wheeled, three wheel tricycles, and a huge platform is built on the back. And I have seen people carrying water buffaloes on the back of bicycles down the street. And as an aside, I also, when I was in India in 1998 studying homeopathy in Calcutta, I was thinking, oh, Y2K might be a problem. What's going to happen if we don't have the infrastructure for gasoline? And also, I actually purchased two tricycles in parts and had them shipped back to the United States and did build one, although it was quite an ordeal putting the spokes together and truing the wheels, etc. But at any rate, bicycles, independence, being able to carry more things, to transport goods, to build or to cook or to get clothes or whatever. This ability to go out and independently and procure things is a basic feeling that human beings have that is liberating. And so we all strive to have greater mobility and greater ability to do this. Now, because of accidents, because of serious illnesses, we may lose some of our mobility, or it could be a car accident and we're unable to walk like we used to. Some people are paralyzed, quadriplegic, unable to move even their arms and all the way down the rest of their body, or perhaps it's lower down and they can't walk, or they have to struggle and really focus to regain their abilities to do this. Now, this motivation to do this is this need to be independent and to be mobile and to be able to be creative and express ourselves as we are as individual and community-oriented human beings. So when this ability to be independent, to go a place, find our way there, find our way back, go someplace, go to another place, go to another place, go to another place, and then find our way back home, or find our way where we're going. This ability to orient ourselves in time and space, know where we are, and find our way back home is a really important aspect of our fundamental confidence in being an individual, creative, and going anywhere you want, and having an independent life. Now, what happens if we begin to have difficulty remembering how to get back? We're going someplace and all of a sudden we're lost. We have no idea where we are. That is a major, major challenge and embarrassment to our fundamental self-image as an independent individual. So the whole point of this discussion is, where does shame and embarrassment come into the equation of denial? Now, I work and I've studied and I help many, many people. One of my missions in life is to prevent 1 million cases of Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's, like other forms of dementia, has an incredibly huge memory loss and forgetfulness component. So this issue of when someone begins to have difficulty remembering why they went in the next room, remembering where they are, remembering the name of their pets, remembering the names of their relatives. This can be not only a feeling of shame, a feeling of embarrassment, but it's also this fundamental challenge to who we are at the core as an independent and free-willed individual. Due to this, many, many, many people go into a denial mode. They deny that this is going on. They realize it's going on, but they don't want to tell other people that they recognize it, because out of fear of embarrassment, out of fear that others will think less of them, out of fear that their freedom will be restricted, that they won't be able to drive anymore, they won't be allowed to go out. And this freedom, this restriction in our ability to move around and act independently strikes very deeply to the core of who we are as individuals, as human beings, that we struggled so hard, or at least progressed through in our development from an early age, from childhood, from birth, from early childhood. We worked really hard to get to where we are, and now this is being taken away from us. So why do I even bring this subject up? Well, when I am out sharing my thoughts, my wisdom, and my ideas about how we can actually turn around some of these problems of dementia and Alzheimer's, how it is possible to regain, in many cases, a large degree of our brain function back, if we do it soon enough. Well, I often find that people with mild memory problems dismiss it. They deny that anything's wrong. And this denial is probably coming from shame and embarrassment, and they don't break through that. It's so important for us to recognize that shame and embarrassment and the other similar emotions are things that really, in American society, these things keep us from being liberated. It actually keeps us from having the life that we need. So overcoming this shame, breaking through the shame, recognizing and confessing, actually telling other people, you know, I'm rather embarrassed about this, but I think I'm losing my memory. Just statements like that, actually labeling what you're feeling, and labeling it can be very powerful by just saying, you know, I'm embarrassed, or I feel shame around this. I am scared that this is going on. It's no different from just saying, well, I'm happy that you are here, or I'm sad. So, but there's a little more charge around that. The emotions of sadness and fear and happiness, these are all, well, fear is lower down on the scale of what's considered acceptable to talk about, at least for men. Women, in general, are much more able to talk about their feelings and express them to other people with perhaps a little less sense of self-judgment, or a little less sense that it is a challenge to who they are, their confidence. It's not always the case, of course. Many men are very expressive of their emotions and will tell others, but oftentimes, especially men around men, are reluctant to say, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed that this and this and this is going on. Or so this is a this reluctance to label how one's feeling, if you actually know how you're feeling. But first, knowing how you feel, labeling it, and then expressing that to someone else is really a very important step in being a more mature human being. And it's also a key component and fundamental to getting help that could actually turn around these issues, help you turn around these issues of memory problems and advancing dementia, advancing Alzheimer's. Because if no one else knows it, and believe me, people around you know it is going on. And then what can often happen is, either because the person's embarrassed, they start blaming others and saying, oh no, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And perhaps they know that they did, or they have forgotten, and legitimately they say, oh no, this never happened, and when in fact everyone else knows it did. And when somebody says, no, we actually had that conversation, the person, no, we never had that. I mean, it can be from a legitimate lack of that memory function, or it can be a denial mechanism out of embarrassment and a sense of shame. So let me give you an example of this. One of the people I work with is in a relationship, and her husband is going through this. And unfortunately, it is a situation that is so difficult, and the situation is so untenable, and this husband refuses to get any care, refuses to go and get a neurological evaluation, for example, refuses to admit that there is anything wrong. Now, this is either denial or it is evidence of really advanced disease and really advanced brain degeneration going on. So either way, this person needs to get help. And yet there's a reluctance and a refusal that he will go and get any care. This is one of the big obstacles to actually helping me fulfill my mission in preventing a million cases of Alzheimer's. The fact that, number one, many people are not getting the medical care they need early on, and the recognition that something is starting. There certainly are many ways to take a look at the underlying factors, such as heavy metal toxicity, chemical toxicity, blood sugar issues. Certainly the medical system in the United States is looking at blood sugar and trying to address that early on, oftentimes just with the prescription of medications. But overall, it's so important for these tendencies to be recognized early on by medical professionals and people who know what they're doing. Things like meningeal compression, having sufficient blood and cerebral spinal fluid circulating in the brain is really key for your brain cells, for the nerve cells to repair, to be replaced, to expand. And without these, it is an emergency. Without recognizing this is going on at an early stage, the degenerative process will progress. And so actually having a system set up to start recognizing these issues early on and taking care of them and addressing them is the only way that we are really going to get a handle on this epidemic of dementia and Alzheimer's. I mean, currently, 1 in 3 Americans dies with Alzheimer's. 1 in 8 Americans will have Alzheimer's. Now, this is a startling and striking statistic that everyone should take to heart. I mean, definitely, heart disease is a leading killer, and cancer is a leading problem of health in this country. And both of those severely affect people's lives in a very personal way. And it's not just the person who is part of that whole condition, who has that condition, that either the cancer or the heart disease, the obstructive pulmonary disease, the tachycardia, all variety of different kinds of heart, lung, circulatory problems. There's many, many, many types. So it's not just the person who is experiencing that and having that in their own body, but it is also those around that person who have to take care of them, have to worry about them. Those people are also very strongly affected. So Alzheimer's and dementia, in their expanding, increasing percentages of people being influenced by this, this is having a huge impact on society and individuals themselves. So getting back to this one patient of mine, I mean, this situation is not the only aspect that has caused the need to divorce, but it is creating a divorce situation. And this individual, this man, is not recognizing or acknowledging the fact that this is something that needs to be addressed. So here in this little brief podcast I have, I'm just wanting to talk a little bit about shame, a little bit about embarrassment, a little bit about denial, and how these have strong impacts on healthcare and the ability of someone to actually take charge, to recognize something's going on, to admit that they have this feeling that makes it difficult to talk about some problem they're having. And so by opening up, by recognizing that someone has a feeling about something, that someone's embarrassed, someone feels some shame, someone is scared to say something, someone is difficult to admit that this is going on, by actually verbalizing that, first saying, you know, this is going on and I feel embarrassed about it. Telling someone that they feel embarrassed because their memory is getting worse, because they're forgetting things, because they had a conversation that people said they had and they have no recollection at all. These are very important things to verbalize and tell others and to take care of right away. Now, if you're having any of these issues, you need someone to talk, please call the Redwood Clinic. We are here. We have specialized programs that are our brain wealth and brain health programs that help look and find out what might be going on. What are the many causes maybe affecting your brain, your nervous system, your overall body health that could be causing and resulting in this degeneration in your brain's ability to function right, in your ability to remember things. So call us or go online, listen to these podcasts, buy our books, Natural Solutions with DrJ.com, our podcast. Listen to that. Books, Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, or Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. Watch our Brain Wealth lectures that are online, and then give us a call. Set up an appointment to come in and get an evaluation. It's either coming in. We can also do it remotely. We have the ability to do remote consultations as well. But give us a call, 510-849-1176. And let us help you have a healthier, happier life for the rest of those days that you have in your life. Thank you so much. This is Dr. J. Sordian. And urging you to take the natural path to optimal health by preventing underlying neurological degeneration and damage.
If you'd like to learn more about how to get an appointment with Dr. Sordian, please call the Redwood Clinic at 510-849-1176. And for information, go to theredwoodclinic.com. Thank you. If you're interested in finding out more about how you or your relatives can avoid dementia, buy the book, Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic, 7 Key Memory Care Actions to Avoid Alzheimer's and Successfully Keep Your Brain Safe, Sharp, and Sexy into the Future, by going to OutsmartingDementia.com. That's OutsmartingDementia.com. Thank you so much. Information can also be found on Natural Solutions with DrJ.com. To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on Natural Solutions with DrJ.com.